It's almost Election Day, Central Ohio, and your voice matters. On Tuesday, November 4th, COTA is making it easier to get to the polls with free rides all day long on all services. No fare, no hassle. Just hop on board on Tuesday, November 4th for an easy way to cast your vote. Whether you're taking the bus, COTA Mainstream, or COTA Plus, your ride is on us. Let's roll to the polls together. Plan your trip on the transit app or at COTA.com.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. I welcome Gene Marks, the small business columnist for The Guardian newspaper, UK and US edition, as well as our hometown newspaper, The Philadelphia Inquirer. We go immediately to the jobs report from Washington. The Labor Department reported adding 531,000 jobs last month, more than expected by the economists. At the same time, part of the paradox, the country is still 4.2 million jobs short of where it was before the pandemic and further from where it would have been if the pandemic hadn't occurred. Here's the puzzle for small business, for all business in America. We are growing, but we have a reluctance or something else has happened to the workforce we needed. Now, I recall Gene and I in February of 2020, right before the pandemic shut us down, talked about the great jobs report, but we were short people then. We're short more now. Herein lies the puzzle for what is going on at the stores across America and for Christmas. The word is inflation, and Gene takes us to that in a column he's written for the Washington Times. Gene, you've been traveling across the country. My memory is that you've been in Texas, Florida, Oklahoma, Colorado, and South Carolina. You've had conversations with small business organizations across the country. Inflation is the worry. How so? Good evening to you, Gene.
Hi, John. Yeah, I've been speaking to associations, industry associations, that really cross all different types, service industries, manufacturers, people in the ag industry, as well as that's agriculture, as well as financial services. I spoke to a bunch of credit union CEOs in South and North Carolina. Inflation is high of mind. So, you know, the job numbers, you know, are good, and President Biden should be pleased with that. But they, you know, there's still some significant issues that business owners are going to be facing, which I think could impact job numbers, which are rising prices. And it kind of comes down to this, John. You know, I talk to these guys, and I'm like, hey, you know, the consumer price index is reported at like 5.6%, and 5.4%. The producer price index is at 8.6%. You know, 8.6% is what price to price. Is that what you're seeing? And John, you know, in every meeting that I'm at, people are looking back to me and they're shaking their heads and they're saying, no, we're seeing a lot more than 8.6%. And when I go back and I look into the numbers, because I wrote about this for the Washington Times last week, they're right. I mean, the core materials, John, that go into manufacturing, like plastics and resins, have increased 44% over the past year. It's iron and steel, which is used in construction and equipment manufacturing, this year alone has increased in prices 96%. Chemicals are up almost 16%. Overall manufacturing costs are like 15%. That's manufacturing. Construction industry, the cost of gypsum, 25% increase. Construction materials up 29%. Even transportation, shipping, way more than the 8.6% in producer prices. And what does that tell us, John? It tells me that, you know, we're not done with inflation for a while. What we are going to be looking at over the coming months, and I think over the coming 6 months at least, is a lot of these producer prices are going to be filtering down into consumer prices, and that consumer is going to be paying a lot more than that 5.4% increase, which is going to drive the cost of living up, and it is going to put more pressure on small businesses to pay their employees more just to retain them, let alone to hire new employees. We've already seen, you know, hourly wages go up about 5% so far this year. And even in the service business, the service industry, you know, my clients and people I'm talking to saying they're paying about 10% more this year, particularly for new hires. So we're in an era of rising prices, and business owners have to pivot and adjust. And by the way, you know, it's not, you know, it's a challenge, but it's a challenge that the people that I'm talking to are taking on, and they're going to have to navigate their way through it. But I think the downside is, I think, you know, it could impact hiring going forward.
The Federal Reserve is hesitant to tighten because, though inflation is here, it is said to be temporary or transitory. At the same time, we're not fully employed, and that's the double goal for the Federal Reserve: moderate inflation to about 2% and bring up full employment. Now, we're reporting 4.6 to 4.7% employment, but the rate, the job rate, the number of people working compared to the number of people who could work, remains unchanged. So the puzzle, Gene, can these small businesses and small business organizations, can they pass on the price increases that they're paying? Can they pass on the wage hikes that they're needing to offer in order to get workers, or are they stuck?
Well, they're going to do two things, and we're already seeing this. Number one is, yeah, they are going to be raising prices. And, John, you and I know we go out to eat at restaurants or to retail stores, and you're seeing an increase in prices, right? So there's that. I'm seeing a lot of my businesses doing what some of the big brands are doing, which is practicing shrinkflation. I'm not sure if you're familiar with what that is, but it's where you sell a bag of Doritos for the same price, except it weighs a lot less. Familiar with that one?
Yes, I remember thinking that this yogurt is much smaller than it used to be, but I was satisfied. You know, it was fun. I didn't need all of it.
So a lot of business owners are doing, you know, just that. And like, how can we do it without raising prices? There's that. But the third thing I think should be most worrying for the Federal Reserve, and particularly for the labor movement, is there has been this enormous surge in businesses investing in technology. And I wrote about that recently in The Hill, and I wrote about it a few months ago. I forget where else. And I'm going to keep writing about it because I keep accumulating new stories. I mean, an avalanche of stories of small and mid-sized businesses that are able to afford technologies that they were never able to afford before. I mean, we are talking about autonomous vehicles and warehouses that can move products around without human beings, and drones that can do inventory counts and check for safety, and robots. Boston Dynamics released earlier this year a robot called Stretch, which can unpack and pack boxes, fill up pallets, move them around, all being directed by one, you know, five of them being directed by one person at a time. You know, those things, let alone the restaurants that are having robots flip, you know, burgers, make pizzas, make sushi, the retail stores that are using automation to check out on your own and do your own scannings and picking, like Amazon making 3,000 stores around the country. Other grocery stores are licensing Amazon's technology to allow complete self-service for people coming in. It's automation, automation, automation. The price of that has come down. And I, again, if you read my Hill column, I have about 15 examples of small and mid-sized businesses, small and mid-sized businesses that are getting this automation because it gets things done faster and it eliminates people. And the people that make that technology hate when I say that, but it is just the truth, John, and that is what we're seeing, and we're going to see a lot more of that over the coming months.
There is positive. The economic activity manufacturing sector grew in October, the 17th consecutive month. What that tells me is there's demand. We know we have a lot of money in our pockets from the pandemic when we were not spending. So it isn't a question of the consumer not doing his or her part. It's the problem of the supply chain, yes, and we're ready to pay higher prices if it can be delivered to us in time for Christmas. And, Gene, I've been warned online, shop early, shop now, don't wait for the sales after Thanksgiving. The sales are now. So in shopping, I went to a shoe online site. They said it'll take two to three week delay possibly. I clicked the button, and that there's time if you order in early November for Christmas. I think that's one way to deal with the supply chain.
Yeah, it is one way to deal with the supply chain. And, you know, it is, you know, it's interesting to see the problems that small businesses have, retail and even B2B businesses, business to business. They're actually not bad problems to have, because you just mentioned, John, demand is up. Demand is strong. And because of that, that is the biggest worry of small business owners is falling over a cliff. So they know that the business is there and the customers they want products. So now they've got a puzzle that they've got to solve, which is, I've got customers. How can I get them their products in a satisfactory amount of time and get my money from them as well. So because the customers are there. So that's the puzzle. So if you're in retail, what I'm seeing retailers do, just like you mentioned, is offer deals before the holidays while they still have inventory. I have other retail clients that are saying, listen, the holidays are going to be slow. Put your orders in now. And if you put it in now, maybe we give you a discount or some other kind of incentive, but we're not going to ship you the order, or you can't pick it up until January or February when it actually gets here. And I've got other retail clients that are really pushing gift cards, because that's a great way to support businesses. You can give, obviously, gift cards are still a great Christmas gift, and then people can, you know, cash them in when the products are better. The public, the buying public knows that there's a supply chain crisis going on, and they understand. On the manufacturing side, I'm seeing, you know, a lot of manufacturers, they are dealing with, you know, the shortage of supply by staying in constant communication with their customers, buying up the supply where they can, and making sure that their lead times are, you know, are reasonable with the people that are asking for them. Again, when I talk to these groups over the past couple of weeks, John, people are, it's a challenge, but running a business is always a challenge. They're very grateful that the demand is there, you know, that the economy is growing. They're happy about that. They're going to figure this out.
Inflation, rent. I can testify that in Manhattan and Brooklyn, rent is climbing, and to the effect that when the open house is held, the landlord holds an auction for all the people who want to rent the apartment. That tells me that this is part of the inflation story and the recovery. Are you seeing similar events in Philadelphia?
Yeah, I am, and I'm seeing that in cities around the country. There's a double-edged sword. There's good and bad about this rise in rent. CoreLogix, which is a research firm in the real estate area, has said that, you know, average rents have gone up about 9.3% on an annualized basis. It's a big number. I think it was like the biggest increase in like 16 years. So on the downside, obviously that increased people's costs, and we're talking about small businesses. When your employees are paying more in rent, that drives up their cost of living, and you've got to match that, right? Otherwise, they're gonna leave. So it puts pressure on employees to increase employers to increase their workers' compensation so they can afford things like rent. So that's an issue. And by the way, that 9.3%. Remember, your consumer prices only went up, what, 5.4%? I mean, it's kind of, all those increases are coming. They're coming. So that's the downside. On the upside, John, you know, COVID, the pandemic, it was really hard on a lot of small landlords. There are a lot of small business owners who own properties, you know, a small amount of properties, but, you know, they're in business to do that. They got crushed with the rent abatements and all the rules saying that a lot of tenants didn't have to pay their rent at all. They got very little help from the government. So they're kind of getting it back right now, you know, if you're in the commercial or the residential real estate business. So, you know, for that industry, I felt sorry for them last year, but I think they're making a recovery because of this increase in rents.
Gene Marks, the small business columnist for The Guardian newspaper, UK and US edition, as well as the Philadelphia Inquirer, our hometown newspaper. We're going to turn to entrepreneurship. The Wall Street Journal asked this question: are entrepreneurs happier than everybody else? When we come back, this is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Bashman.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
I'm here with FinQuest, where you can play and win from the comfort of your own home with hundreds of slot games and all of the table games you love with real cash prizes. Right now, $30 coin packs are on sale for $10 for new users. It's all at SpinQuest.com. That's SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
CODA salutes those who served. Veterans ride free Tuesday, November 11th. And every other day of the year, our veterans and active duty military personnel get a 50% discount on all fares. It's all part of CODA's ongoing commitment to show appreciation for your selfless service. To ride at no cost on fixed routes, tell your bus operator that you're a veteran or use code VET2025 in the app to use CODA Plus. Veterans ride free on Tuesday, November 11th for Veterans Day. Veterans get a 50% discount every day on CODA. Plan your ride and learn more at CODA.com/trip planner.
Cleveland is where the urban meets the outdoors, where cultural celebrations meet rabid sports fans meet the symphony, where nobody goes hungry and everybody loves music. Fueled by passion, we are the land for life.
From rich history to hidden gems, the Legends of the Land podcast shares the real stories from real Clevelanders that shaped the city. From iconic chefs to grassroots changemakers, sports heroes to creative visionaries, learn why living all out is in Cleveland's DNA. Go to thisisCLE.com/podcast.